This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
9:06. Good morning. Yeah, the Home Improvement Show. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Good morning, Walter.
Morning.
How would you describe the weather right now? Is it still comfortable?
I'm not complaining at all. My pool is at 82 degrees. I'm jumping in today. So that's...
He came in here wearing his bathing suit. No joke.
Pretty much.
He's ready to go. We're at 21 right now, but a bit of humidity out there, but we're heading for a high of 30 today. Unusually warm for May.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I think we hit a record yesterday of 31.2.
And it's just been beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we deserve it, you know?
Yeah. Just remember the minus 30 we were getting just a few weeks back. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what my wife says. When you complain about how hot it is, think of pumping gas in those wind tunnels.
When the air hurts when you breathe.
I know. Well, we're going to put you to work. 514-790-0800. You have an issue at home, a renovation project. You're thinking of one. Maybe there's something you just need some expert advice and counseling on. We've got the guy, Walter Assey from Renovco, and all his years of experience at your service for the full hour. So call now at 514-790-0800. We're going out to the West Island to talk to Robert in Kirkland. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, we're good. You want to talk about one of your drains?
Yes. I got a basement. I'm attaching a washer to a basement in the back room that connects to the garage, and the drain is right now is draining in the garage pit. Mm-hmm. Is that a problem? I need to change the pipe because it's a very old house, and the pipe is a 1-inch pipe, steel, and so we want to change that and put maybe a 2-inch or bigger pipe. Now my plumber was saying that this is not within code. We got to break the pit and attach it to the main drain, put like a Y. And the house is very old. It's got a cast iron drain. So is it necessary to do that?
Your plumber is right. It is not within code that you... So you do have to attach to the main drain. Now, having said that, truth be told, I've seen a lot of people do it to cut corners. It's just not as per the plumbing code. You know, if you absolutely don't want to do it, off the record, I've seen it done. But it's not within code, for sure.
Okay.
If you do have a cast iron pipe, I suggest and I strongly recommend that you pass a camera through it. Because if this thing breaks and you don't know about it or do something about it preemptively, it's going to create chaos in your basement. And, you know, it's really not a pleasant job to do. So if you're worried that there's cracks or corrosion or rust in it, better that you know. And now that you're doing some breaking of concrete, it's a time to have it all properly changed in this case.
Okay.
Because you're in it and, you know, it is intrusive and you still have to jackhammer the slab. So, you know, It's you're halfway there. So, you know, it is recommended after 30, 40 years of usage to pass a camera in there and see what's happening.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, Robert. Have a good one. Thanks for the call. It's 9:10. What comes to mind when you think of a garage pit? You know why I bring it up? Because we ignored it for years, and then we finally had it cleaned out, and it's disgusting down there.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Any drain, you need to pour water in it every now and then to kind of make sure it's functioning well and doesn't smell and what have you. But it's also a question, do you put your car in there or not? Because a lot of people use their garage as storage, and that means there's not a lot of snow and there's not a lot of water that comes in, so it's rarely used. That's the more reason that you want to pour water in it to make sure that it doesn't smell and keep it clean and in good shape. So,
let's go to Adam in Brossard. By the way, call now if you want to talk to Walter, 514-790-0800 on the South Shore. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. I live in a rented semi-detached cottage or townhouse in Brossard, probably built in the mid-1970s or so. It has a natural gas forced air furnace. my next door neighbor, who's a handyman, says he thinks that I can attach a window air conditioning unit in the basement. There's a window right beside the furnace. Have some kind of a hose from the front of the air conditioner going to, you know, the I guess the main vent or the vent right near the furnace, and having the furnace has a fan blowing, because it's a forced air furnace, natural gas, blowing the cool air through the house. So I'm asking you if you think this could work as a fix for air conditioning. And I have a second question also, if you will.
I'm a bit nervous when I hear the word neighbor and handyman, because that's where we get in trouble most of the time. I don't particularly understand exactly what your neighbor's concoction is, to be quite frank with you. All I can tell you is, all I can understand is that you wanted to put a window air conditioning and try to tap into the propane or the natural gas. Is that what I understand?
Well, through the it's a forced air furnace. It has a fan, right? The furnace has a fan, so you can just put the fan on from the furnace and have the cool air from the window air conditioning unit blow the cool air throughout the house.
Yeah, I mean that you just have to put your fan on. Instead of putting on an automatic, just put fan on. Yeah. I mean, it is going to move air, that's for sure. You could just put, instead of putting the fan on automatic setting, you put it on at all times. And then once you click on your AC, well, that's going to move the air around. For sure, it's going to help, yeah.
Yeah, and I would think that you would need a very powerful AC window unit, like the most powerful you can get, for it to be efficient, and also would it be able to blow the cooler air to the second floor, because these vents don't have any shutoff vents. I mean, not shutoff valves like in the, you know, some other vents that I've seen. So it's going to blow wherever it will. But I'm thinking that maybe it won't blow so much the cold air upstairs. We're upstairs.
Well, actually,
really,
it's not going to happen this way. With AC, you want to put it as high up as possible to blow down, right? So it's how cold air. So if you're counting on the cold air coming from downstairs, upstairs, you're going to be fighting gravity.
Let me have you a second question.
Yeah.
You know, there's portable air conditioning. I have casement windows, so I can't put an air conditioning unit in the window because it won't work. They're casement windows.
Correct.
So I have to buy a portable air conditioner. Let me describe. I have three bedrooms upstairs, and there's a hallway, hallway in between the three bedrooms. My thinking was to put a portable air conditioning unit then, as powerful as I can get, like 14 or 18,000 BTU, in the hallway, and then have a long hose attached to one of the windows. My neighbor thinks because it'll be a long hose, extension hose to the window, it may not be so efficient because the heat in the house will heat the hose. What's your answer to that?
Well, I mean, typically these manufacturers, they have limitations for the size of the ducting that you're going to put. Each manufacturer have different recommendations. So I recommend strongly that you look at their instruction manual to tell you, what is it, 5-6 feet, 7 feet maximum length, and so on and so forth. That's how it's going to begin. My question to you is, how much are these units approximately?
A portable air conditioning unit?
Yeah.
It could run anywhere from $600 to $1,400, I suppose.
Good. And you're going to buy three of them?
No. I can't really afford it. I would only be able to buy one and have it upstairs where it's the hottest, where the bedrooms are. Like I said, put it in the middle of the three bedrooms. In the hallway, and hopefully that would cool off
The reason I'm asking you this is because since you're renting and you are going to do an investment in this, why don't you speak to the landlord? I mean, if you put a split unit, it's about $3,000.
No, he won't. He lives in Russia. He's very ultra cheap.
Okay.
And he doesn't want to spend any money.
Yeah. I mean, again, these units work, but they work in the room that you're in.
That's the thing. I didn't want to cool off just the one room. I wanted to have, like, all of the upstairs, if possible, cooled off.
Last question
quickly. There's water infiltrating into the basement when the snow melts and when there's heavy rain. I can see it looks like there's mold on the walls. Could that pose a danger to my health, and is there a way to remove that mold?
There is ways to remove the mold. There's nothing called, there's no mold that you see in your house due to water damage that is good mold. Very strongly recommended that you do get a spot for them. The fake security you have with mold is when you see it. It's not like it smells bad or you don't feel like you're, you know, sick right away. It's spore buildup in your lungs, and that's what usually causes the most danger health-wise. Plus the fact that it keeps on spreading. So you don't want to overcharge your lungs, your lung capacity with mold spores. So definitely you need to get rid of it. Now, so
what do you recommend to remove it? Is there some kind of a product you can buy to remove mold?
Well, here's the thing. Yes, there is. But the first question you want to ask yourself, is it a surface mold or is it material cavity mold? If it's cavity mold, that means you have to be more intrusive to get rid of the mold. Meaning if there's the mold's coming behind the drywall, then you have to rip out the drywall under negative pressure, and then you have to apply some type of a biocide, mold control, Foster, Cognorium. There's many, many, many products. Small areas, you can get away with Dawn soap, liquid soap, believe it or not. That's safe. It's not toxic for you. But that's only used in surface mold and it's very restricted areas. And avoid using a lot of water because that will, believe it or not, activate more mold. So you have to work with damp
stuff. Adam, we're up against the clock. Hope that was some help for you this morning.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Right back at it, 514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Renovco is answering your calls and your questions. I'm Ken Connors. We've got Ben Lange in Master Control answering the phones. I'm going to bring in Doris here for a second. Doris, you still there?
Fine. Yeah, I'm here.
Doris, you're on the radio.
Oh, hi, good morning. I was just calling, the first caller was calling about...
his drains.
The drains, that's right. And I have somebody I could recommend a company to him, or if he wants to call this number, or if he wants to leave his number and we can call him.
You don't mind if we put the number on the air?
No, not at all. You can put the number on the air.
Okay. What's the name of the company, by the way?
The company name is Neo Drains, N-E-O,
Neo Drains. Yeah.
And the phone number is 514-743-8774.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I hope he's listening. And I no longer have his number, unfortunately.
You don't have his number, okay.
No, I didn't register. We don't take the number.
You don't keep the numbers,
no.
Yeah.
No, but Neo Drains, 514-743-8774.
That's right. And they're excellent. They do camera inspections and pressure washer business and that sort of work.
Doris, thanks for the reference. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Janet, you've been waiting. You want to talk to Walter about your windows.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I had two sets of windows replaced. It's less than 2 years ago. And ever since they have been replaced, whenever it rains heavily and blowing, I get water in. And before, there was no issues. So what could be the problem?
Okay, that's a great question. Now, there's many things, but I'm going to ask you to do the simplest thing, which is check your drain of the window if it's blocked or not. Sometimes what they do, and we see it often, that you know a lot of the newer windows have sometimes some a film or plastic protection where the drain is, and they probably have forgotten to take it out. Or you have some accumulation of dust and dirt that have blocked these drains. And that would be the easiest thing to check out. You could check it out yourself. That should save the issue for you. The other thing you want to look at is the installation. If that doesn't work, obviously there's something wrong in the installation. Either they did not caulk the outside, which is a problem. So you want to, you know, go outside and see if the caulking is right. We've seen cases where the window was too small for the opening and they did not flash it or frame it correctly. So it could be many things, but start with the simple things first, which is the drain on your window, check your caulking on the outside. If that doesn't work, then we're going to have to look a bit more intrusively about what they did.
I've done all of those things and have had a window specialist to come and and examine whatever was done and if it was done correctly. And all of that was done. I got the report, and it, his recommendation was that the carking perhaps was not done properly. And the company refused to come back and get that done. I have done everything. I have made sure that the wall was no holes in the brick, and the flush, everything cleaned and sealed. And the water comes in from the top, not the bottom.
Okay. So what you want to look at is the metal angle on top, if it's properly cocked or not. That could create issues for you as well. So if it's not the window itself and you've done everything in the window, then you want to look above it, like you said, if there's any repointing to do on the bricks. If it's a flat roof, you want to check the flashing around the perimeter. If it's not that, you want to check the metal angles around above the window. That could also lead to these types of infiltrations. Now, your window expert, just as a footnote, did he check if the window was installed straight? It was plumb. It was not installed, crooked or anything like that. Or just visually inspected the window.
No, he used an instrument that would tell him about. The water leakage, if there's any dampness or things like that, and I guess the structure too. I don't have the report in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, I noticed that when they were doing it, when they did it, there's a part of the brick that was chipped away because I assumed the window was not the correct fitting, and so they had to do that.
Right. We have about a minute before news.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what that tells me is that they made the window bigger than the hole, if I understand you correctly,
right.
If they had to chip. Yeah, so what we want to make sure, again, is the installation itself. If the installation is not done correctly, it will lead to water damage. Now, with a water infiltration instrument, that cannot be checked. What he's checking is the water channel, or how the water have traveled through the, from above, from below, and so on and so forth. That doesn't really tell me the story of how the window was installed. The best way to do it is you pop out the trims around the window, and you see from that point onwards happen. If it's installed too tight, if there's a big gap on one side and not the other side, if it's crooked, that will help tell me the story a bit further. Okay, but prior to that, again, look at caulking. Look at above, above the window. If everything is done right, mind you, caulking is the last line of defense. It's not really what's supposed to kind of stop the water, but it is one indication for you if something is going wrong.
Janet, we have to run because news is up next.
Yes,
was that some help for you?
In a way, but I've done all those things, so yeah. Where do I go from here? What would be the best solution if I've done all of the above?
You would need to get a window installer in and not a general inspector, like a real window professional,
yeah.
A specialist, and let him start popping stuff open and doing things a bit more intrusively.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
A couple of lines are open if you want to get in here and talk to Walter in the second half of the show. By all means, call us now at 514-790-0800. I think I'm hungry. I'm hungry,
You've
Nancy.
Been here since 5. So
I know. I know. I just had a muffin. Nancy out in Brossard. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Ken and Walter. Thank you so much for taking my call. I was driving along and I thought, perfect opportunity to call, but I did stop. So
very good. And but the issue is pyrite, right?
It is. Oh. It is. I did have, my house was built in 1978. I had a test done in 2007. And in the garage, it said it was, it was negligible. But I've noticed over the last couple of years, and especially after this winter, that I have some, big cracks. But now on one side, it's actually lifting. They're swelling. So I didn't know if, Walter, you could recommend like a company that I could get an assessment from. I don't know. I'm just reaching out to for help.
Yeah. So the good news for you is that the test came back as there's presence of pyrite, but the percentage was negligible, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So that is good news because what this end up being is more a cement slab repair rather than a pyrite hole show and, you know, and scenario.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if we have to do with pyrite, now we have to, number one, it have to be a pyrite certified company.
Okay.
They have to have a Renopyrite certification.
Okay.
Which makes your, you know, your pool of contractors a lot smaller.
Right.
The other thing is that you have to take out the slab, you have to dig out all the gravel, you have to clean it, you have to dig. So it's just a lot more work that you would need to do.
Okay.
Okay. So in this case, what you would need to do really is find cement contractors.
Oh, okay.
Cimentier,
okay.
Yeah. Like any cimentier that is in your area specifically, because they really like to stick around. Their suppliers around and it's in the Shaw Shore. So if they need cement, they have an account with the guy in the Shaw Shore and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah. And you get the quotations that way. You don't need anything more specialized than that.
Okay, so because I had the report and whatnot, so okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's perfect. So
the other thing is, I mean, what you might also end up doing, it depends, if it's just one small area, you can just break the slab in that particular area and fix it locally rather than take out the whole slab if the rest of the slab is fine. So
okay.
It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to do the whole thing if just it's one area that's lifting.
Okay.
Just, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's perfect. You really reassured me because I was dreading the fact that they may have to go all the way down and, you
yeah,
know.
The whole song and dance, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a scary thought, let me tell you.
Yeah, so. No. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why we do, anytime there's any type of contamination, whether it's pyrite, whether it's asbestos, we always recommend that the consumer pays the price for the test because sometimes that price that you pay saves you thousands on the other end just because of the results.
Exactly. So I had the test done in 2007, so I'm assuming that nothing would really change, you know, from now to between now and then for the pyrite. And so, okay, well, thank you so much. You made my day.
No problem.
All right.
My pleasure.
All right.
Thanks, Nancy.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We are going to, who is up next? I just want to check my times here. Oh, it's John in Pierrefonds. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I have a question regarding window mount air conditioners.
Mm-hmm.
So we're often told, and I've been told myself, that I should put a separate circuit in, but it's not that simple to do for a bedroom installation, for instance. So I'm just curious, like, how can I understand if the amperage that the AC unit is going to draw is still within the limits of what I have in my room?
Well, I mean, it's the type of the unit that you're buying with the amperage that's going to draw versus the breaker that's on, right? So
right, if I have a 15-amp breaker
yeah.
and I'm putting a 10,000 BTU that's drawing 8 amps, my room should still be okay for lights and everything else.
Correct, providing that there's no other circuits on the same plug. So if it's, they're not drawing other things from the same plug, right? Usually,
yeah.
Like the newer homes now, you know, you would have to ensure that you have separate circuits and so on and so forth. So it's just a question of what the breaker that you have and what other circuits are on the same breaker.
Yeah, because if I have 3 plugs in the bedroom, for instance, they're probably all going to run to the same breaker. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. So if I have, for instance, a television, a lamp, and by putting an AC unit, I'm going to go over.
That's correct. That is,
if I do, is it as simple as having an electrician up the breaker to a higher amp breaker, or is there any risk with that?
No, I mean, if you're going to have a certified electrician and he's going to switch it out or put it on a different circuit or what have you, or give you a dedicated line, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
But make sure that as soon as you start playing with the panel, certified electrician, not your neighbor that knows about stuff.
No, this is question there.
Yeah, when it comes to electricity, we don't play, but yeah. The other thing is that there's different there's a lot of products out there now with air conditioning, the portable units, and so on and so forth. So just ensure that you understand what type of amperage that you're dealing with beforehand, and that should simplify the story.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
good
John.
Show, guys.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It frees up a line if you want to call now and talk to Walter, 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800.
It's funny. We never got called about air conditionings in February.
Never. Not one. Joseph, hi.
Hello?
Joseph from St. Leonard. You're on the radio.
Yes. Hi. How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Walter, I have a question with regards to changing a dual energy furnace to an electrical furnace.
Okay.
Do you do this stuff, or can you suggest someone who does it, and what must I do?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, it's not really, you're staying dual energy if you have, let's say, a heat pump and a furnace. It's still in dual energy, right? The only difference is that, like, it depends what you have there. If you have natural gas in your area, because oil is not allowed anymore, or propane, you could also look at that as an option.
Did you say gas?
Yeah, natural gas or propane.
No, there's no gas in where I am.
Okay, so there's the option of propane or electric.
Electric.
Yeah. If you go with electric, I mean, there's a lot of companies out there. I know a good company is Electroaid. They've been in business for a long time, and I've had some dealings with them lately. What I like about established companies, there's a place to call. And if you have issues, there's someone's going to answer you. And, you know, they have that structure that goes with it, and they have different pools of experts that they could go to, and, you know, they have an engineer on standby, and so on and so forth, for the strengths, for the BTUs, for the calculations, and so on and so forth. It's not a very complicated thing to do to switch it out. It's just you want to make sure that, again, there's compatibility between the two machines, and you have a really good installer that does the work. But yeah, I mean, the other thing that you want to do is do some research on your own on what type of unit you want, and read the reviews about the different brands and so on and so forth. So, like,
can you suggest one?
Look, what I always suggest is the more mainstream brands, just because they have good warranties. I mean, Lennox, Carrier, these guys, Trane, they all do very good machines, right? The machine is one thing. The other thing is the installation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've just installed a Lennox machine that the compressor is guaranteed.
Electroaid installs Lennox?
I believe so, yeah, they do. Uh-huh. I installed a machine that is Lennox, and it's the compressor is guaranteed for 12 years, which is awesome.
When you talk about compressor, are you talking about a thermo pump?
Yeah. I'm talking just the heat pump outside. I'm not talking about the furnace.
Yeah, the heat pump.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is
I don't have a heat pump.
Okay. Well, if you need dual energy, you're gonna have to install one.
Really?
Of course. How are you gonna get dual energy if you don't?
I have water heating right now.
Okay, so you don't have dual energy.
And my next door neighbor changed this 20 years ago, and he just changed the machine.
Okay,
removed this furnace and put in some wall units.
Yeah, but we're talking about two different things right now. If you're talking about having dual energy, you need to have a heat pump, because that's what's going to give you the cheaper rates, right? You can't just have one furnace and call it by energy. It's not by energy. You might have two sources of energy, meaning the furnace itself is drawing oil, let's say, and you have it, part of it is working on electric components, but that's not
right.
Dual energy.
Right.
So you need to look at the heat pump as a thing. And, you know, get them in, get these guys in, and they usually give you a whole the whole explanation of what you would need in order for you to be eligible to the lower rates.
Joseph, we have to run. Hope that was some help for you.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
952. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco here for the full hour. You can still call now and grab a line. Talk to Walter at 514-790-0800. I forgot to bring this up last week, or I didn't have time for it last week. And I think it's a pretty interesting question. He says, good morning, Ken and Walter. Have homeowners been making substantially more multi-generational retrofits of their homes since the pandemic?
Actually, it's a very interesting question because, yes, we've seen a big spike of families trying to integrate their parents, or even in the other cases, the other way around. The issues that were very worrisome or nerve-wracking in the pandemic was all these, I mean, the old folks' home stories we all know about. We don't need to go over that. Yeah. But even in, you know, older people in condos, well, the condo boards in a lot of these buildings forbid any visitors. Okay? So, you know, you had...
During the pandemic.
Which was a big thing because, you know, now they're cut off from the world. Their family can't come and see them.
Of course.
At least, like in my case, I would go to my parents' house and I would stand outside and I would, you know, at least get to see them and talk to them. And yes, it's not, you know, it's not ideal, but at least you get to spend time with them. So that kept its mark. And now we see a lot of people trying to kind of plan ahead. I've done a lot more projects this year that are intergenerational, and you know, usually it's if it's basement, they kind of retrofit the basement to be its own apartment. So it's like everybody is kind of thinking of it as going to be the new norm. Mm-hmm. It's very practical, I have to say. It have its perks. Like I have some clients now that we're doing the work for, and they have kids upstairs. They have twins, and their parents are going to be downstairs, so they have this great access to daycare downstairs. Mm. And, you know, the grandparents are ecstatic about it because they get to bring back the kids at the end of the day.
So. Are the retrofits primarily, like you mentioned, the basements?
Mostly basements. That's correct. We've done a couple of extensions to the home simply because the basement was not practical enough. The height was not there and so on and so forth. And we've done cases where we made the basement more more appealing by digging down and making like windows and walkout and, you know, small garden, retaining walls around, that's a bit more elaborate. So we've been touching all kind of things, and it's great in planning. Plus, for resale, it's great. Mm-hmm. For resale, it's great because it's a unit that you could always rent if you don't need to use it as intergenerational as well.
Yeah. I imagine a big part of retrofitting is providing the people, if they're parents, their own bathroom. And so bathrooms are...
kitchenette and bathroom kitchenette, and everything that you would need. Obviously, there are bylaws as far as the city is concerned that you have to, you know, the size of the windows are important in most basements. That's an issue. So you need to have a window large enough that a person can crawl out of in case of a fire. So these things have to be looked at prior just to see kind of the feasibility of the project. In its totality, it's not just, okay, let's stick in a bathroom and a kitchen. If you want it to be a rentable unit in the future, it has to kind of check or tick all these boxes as well.
From the text line, Walter, I'll sneak this in before we go. From Linda out in Pointe Claire. It says, I'm thinking of changing my kitchen cabinets and maybe going with glass-paned kitchen cabinets. I think that's what she means, you know, where you can actually, there's a little window, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Would you advise, any advice, any recommendations? Is that a good idea?
It is a good idea. The only thing that glass, you know, it's beautiful to look at. It just, you have to be clean and proper all the time. And not every cabinet.
I want to describe how exasperated you looked when you said that.
Yeah.
Fingerprints, really? Like,
well, I mean, not just the fingerprints. It's the clutter that you put inside the cabinets because you get to see, it's a see-through, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Even if you go with an opaque, you still see the silhouette of the dishes and so on and so forth. So if you are that person, great. If you are going to use and abuse your kitchen and have all kind of cluster in there and whatever, then you're not going to love it as much.
All right. So, Linda, there you have it. Proceed accordingly. Glass-paned cabinet doors. Yeah. They do look nice, though.
They look beautiful, but proceed with caution. I mean, you know, I've done a lot of designs that we've used an area of the kitchen and we kind of had those glass installed and, you know, put the nice stuff in it and it looks amazing, but not the whole kitchen. It's very rare.
All right. I'm not sure if she has a glass pane kitchen cabinets or not, but she's ready to go. And Lisa in the Car Show is coming up next with Lisa Christensen. Walter, thank you again for another great hour.
Always a pleasure, brother.
All right, that's Walter Rossi from Renovco. Lisa's next. Kelly Albert at 11, taking you to lunch with Montreal Eats. Ben Lange, thank you so much. News is next with Don Kagan Fleming, and then we'll get to your cars and your questions.